Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel 4, 1 to 11. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to camp, the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant from Shiloh, so that he may go with us and save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent men to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came into the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Hearing the uproar, the Philistines asked, "What's all the shouting in the Hebrew camp?" When they learned that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid. "A god has come into the camp," they said. "Oh no, nothing like this has happened before. We're doomed. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? They are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, Philistines, be men, or you will be subject to the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and the Israelites were defeated, and every man fled to his tent. The slaughter was very great. Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody back. Last week, because of the snow, a lot of you cannot make it to church. But we still have more than half the people came to church from the English congregation, which I'm really proud of you. And compared to the other three congregations, I think we probably have the highest number of people, ratio-wise, coming back to church in the snow. And I met a few young persons, youth from the Cantonese congregation. They're newcomers from Hong Kong. And they took a bus to church last Sunday. And they're not even Christians. So I said, "I'm really proud of you, and I'm sure God is proud of you. And God knows where our heart is." What was my topic 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago? Anybody remember? Everybody's head down. Okay, what was my theme 3 weeks ago, was it? Yeah, 3 weeks ago. Chapter 3. No? Hearing the voice of God. I was, a few weeks ago, I was sharing on listening to the voice of God. That's how Samuel, as a little boy, was called by the Lord to ministry. So we need to listen to the voice of God. And when we are not listening, like the Israelites, during Samuel's time, during Eli's time, priest Eli, things will happen like what we are studying in chapter 4 today. Chapter 4 is the outcome of a people, a nation, who did not listen to God. Samuel, as we learn from Samuel chapter 3, God called him into ministry. God selected him because he has a good ear, can listen to God's voice. He can hear God's voice even though he is a little boy. If you do not hear God's voice, or you refuse, more like you refuse to hear, bad things will happen. And that's what we're going to learn today from the Israelites, the lessons from chapter 4 here. Chapter 4 describes probably the darkest time of Israel as a nation, as a people of God. When they do not hear the word of God, as we study in Samuel chapter 3, that God's word was rare in those days. There's no revelation, vision for the people, and they're lost. And when they're lost, or when they are not listening to the Lord, they do things in their own way. The Philistines disbanded their forces to meet Israel, and as the battle spread, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 of them on the battlefield. Wow, there are a lot of people. 4,000 people die. Well, in those days, you don't use a missile. So a missile, you can kill hundreds of people. But you use a sword. So it took a long time to kill 4,000 people. 4,000 people got killed. When you do not listen to God, defeat will come. When you do not listen to God, you would not realize the reason of the failure. We read in chapter 4, verse 3, that when they lost the battle, they returned to the camp, and the elders, these are the elders, the spiritual leaders, why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before our enemies? Why? The first thing they do is they blame it on God. And these are the elders. Hopefully our elders are not like that. No, we're going to see that elders. And I'm sure our elders have more wisdom than these ones. Instead of looking inside themselves, know what happened. Right? Because God has rescued them. God got them victory in many battles. This is, remember the battle at Jericho City. No. How they carry the ark, circle around the city, the walls fell down. God won them victories. But instead of looking inside themselves, you know, what went wrong? Because they have not heard God's voice for a long time. Or, more accurately, they do not listen. As I shared last time, God always speaks to us. That sermon that I preached the last time really helped me a lot. I shouldn't be promoting my own sermon here. But it did. I have been listening to God's voice a lot more. And then I realized that actually God has been talking to me every moment of the day. I keep asking the same thing over and over again. Okay, I'm waiting for you. You know, where's our worship team? That you promised me that I can compile a new worship team. So God has been spoken to me many, many times on different things. It's just that it may not be the answer I like. So I said, where's your voice? So same for the Israelites. God did not leave them. They left God. God has been speaking to them. It's not that God is that silent. You know, you cannot blame us, you know. You keep us saying that, no, we do not listen, but you do not speak to us. God spoke to the Israelite people, just that they do not listen, just like us. We do not like to listen to God if the answer doesn't fit my agenda, my plan. I want to go to this place. I want to marry this girl. I want to marry this boy, right? But you have somebody else in mind for me. That's not the answer I want to hear. So I keep praying, going, where is this? What's your answer? When they did not listen to God, God left them and came defeat. But instead of looking inside themselves, what did we do wrong? They blame it on God. Why did the Lord bring defeat? It's all your fault. If you look at Joshua, when they faced defeat, it's not really defeat, they got chased away at the city of Ai. It's because, according to Joshua chapter 5, from 5 to 12, is a whole passage there, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. The Lord was mad because Achan took things from the enemies that he should not have. So they, 36 of them were killed when they tried to attack the city of Ai. 36. I shouldn't say only 36, but they got chased away. No, they did not lose the battle. They got chased away. And what did Joshua do immediately? Joshua 7:6. Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders, it's a total different kind of elders. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. Now they lost 36 men and they realized that they did something wrong. The first thing they do is they repent. They ask for forgiveness. I shouldn't say only 36, but compared to the Israelites at Samuel's time, they lost 4,000 people. But instead, they blame it on the Lord, on God. Why then examine themselves? This is the first sign that you are not listening to God. You are based on your own interpretation of every situation. They are relying on themselves. When confronted with defeat, as Proverbs 24 said, humble yourself before the Lord. Humility is the fear of the Lord. The wages are riches and honor and life. This is the first thing we learn from this group of people. They were not listening to God. So any problem they see, they blame it on God by themselves. The second thing we learn from this nation, they replace relationship with religion. What do you mean? So what did they do? Well, they went back. The soldiers returned to the camp. And then they said, let us bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Shiloh so that he may go with us. With this cavalry. So that he may go with us. The Lord may follow us. But we need somebody to come with us. It's not the other way around. We need to bring some bodyguard, a big guy, the heavy way out, so that he can be on our side. He can save us from the hands of our enemies. This is totally wrong. Now, what is the Ark of the Covenant? The picture here. It's not really big. It's a wooden box, gilded with gold. It's about 131 centimeter long, 80 by 80 centimeter. For the ones who are older like me, it's 52 inch by 31 by 31 inch. I cannot think centimeter. I still think inches. I mean, inches makes more sense. No, 1 foot is basically 1 foot. Right? It's easier to visualize 1 foot. So it's 52 inch by 31 inch by 31. It's a small, it's not a very big box, as you can tell from the picture. And it's gilded with gold. It's a wooden box made out of acacia. So inside there are the two, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. There's the staff of Aaron and a bottle, a jar of manna. It has a lot of spiritual significance to all these items. And they carry this in the wilderness. And this, the important thing, the spiritual significance of the Ark is God, is where they meet God, literally, in the Old Testament. but actually be there, right? Only that they cannot get close to the ark. It's the most sacred symbol, item. So they lost the battle. They said, let's bring our ark out. And they forgot that the ark itself is just a wooden box. There's no power in the ark. The ark is just a symbol of God's presence. But they see it as a good luck charm. In the battle of Jericho, they carry the ark, surround the city, and then on the seventh day, when they blow the horn, the walls fell down. They won the battle. When they crossed the river Jordan, they carried the ark, and the river, the water, actually divided. Miraculously, there's power in this ark. So they know that there's power in the ark. But the power is not in this wooden box. It's the presence of the Lord. And very often, the Chinese people have their good luck charm, the tons and the, and the Japanese have theirs. If you go and visit Japan, you notice that the Japanese are quite superstitious. They got all kinds of this good luck charm if you go to visit a temple. And one time when I was serving in the Mandarin congregation, there was a Japanese student, a PhD student. He came to the Mandarin congregation because he wanted to practice his Mandarin. He studied Mandarin here as a PhD in Asian study, but he's a Japanese. So eventually we brought him to Christ. And he said that in Japan, everything is a god, right? But tree, you know, mountain, Mount Fuji is a Mount Fuji god. Everything is a god in there. We got thousands and thousands of god. You know? So initially, when the first one, I tried to share the gospel with him and said that I can accept one more god. I mean, we got so many god anyway, so we can just take one more in, right? But eventually, he became a Christian. So we have our own good luck charm in the West here. Horseshoe, I mean, it's a good luck symbol. That's good luck corn, baseless, but the very famous is probably a rabbit's foot. I didn't realize this until I started doing the study. So a rabbit's foot is a good luck charm for Westerners. I don't know how many of you would carry one of these. And the reason behind this, in the older days in Europe, when they hang somebody, they cut off their arms, pickle it, and then they think that, that pair of arms would bring you good luck. I don't see how that would bring you good luck. I mean, I'll be scared at night with this pair of arms hanging there. So this good luck arm, rabbit's foot probably did not bring any luck to that rabbit. So we have all kinds of superstitions. We may laugh as a Christian. We do not believe all this. Even though sometimes we may believe that carrying a cross around my neck, when you play sports, you have a better chance of winning. If you carry the Bible to a dark place, you're more safe. If you carry a cross on the airplane, you get more protection. I mean, some of us may believe that, but most of us do not, right? Hopefully, we don't. We know that these do not bring us good luck. In the New Testament, when Paul was performing miracles, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that have touched him were taken to the sick, and their illness were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Wow, okay. But don't try and follow my tire or things like that after the worship, thinking that this may heal you. It won't work. Because the reason it worked at that time, because God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. It's not Paul's handkerchief. It's God himself working through the handkerchiefs. We may find the Israel people stupid, hilarious. What are you thinking? thinking that wooden box will help you to win the war. There's no power in that. But the Israelites truly believed that. They actually pulled it out, and they were actually celebrating. If you continue to read, after they bring out the box, when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came to the camp, all Israel raised such a great shout that the ground shook. Actually, they were having a worship service. They're banging, drumming, jumping up and down. They actually truly believe that this Ark will bring them victory. They were trying to manipulate God. They're trying to bring God to their side. They were actually so happy, so thrilled. They believe that actually it will work. That's why even their enemies were scared when they listen, when they hear the voice. They were actually scared. They said, wow, what happened here? Why? It seems to be suddenly become so powerful. But you know what happened. They lost 3,000 men initially, but later on they actually lost 30,000, even more. We may find this a bit hilarious, but we are sometimes like that, isn't it, today? Sometimes we believe that by praying more, God will be on our side. By fulfilling all the Christian duties, that God actually will listen to me and give me the wishes, fulfill my wishes. Sometimes we believe all these spiritual rituals that we are doing will actually bring us good luck. And sometimes we believe that God is on our side. But that did not happen, as you know. It's not important whether God is on our side or not. I remember 20 years ago when I was still working in engineering, so one time we had a little hot discussion or argument with another team. So one of the team leaders was arguing with another team. So we are sort of arguing how something should be done. Right? So I was trying to propose my way, and then the other lead trying to propose their way. And everybody at work, most people at work know that I'm Christian. So one guy trying to be funny said that, oh, we better believe in Norman. God is on his side. Right? So he's just joking, obviously. Right? But it is not important whether God is on your side. What is more important is whether you are on God's side. The Israelites try to bring God onto their side while they're going to God's side. So when Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, when he was asked by one of his generals, sir, is God on our side? Can he win the battle? And Abraham Lincoln said, the concern is not whether God is on our side, said the president. My greatest concern is whether we are on God's side, for God is always right. The Israelites were not on God's side. They're trying to bring God out so that God can follow you, so they can manipulate him. Aren't we all sometimes like that? When we pray for something, if it's not according to our wish, we just keep praying. We're trying to twist God's arm, like the Israelites. We're trying to manipulate him. What if I go to church more often? Could you bless me with this? A better job if I make more offerings. Would you bless me more? If I serve harder in the church, would you do this for me? We try to manipulate God. The third lesson we learn from this passage, when you are not listening to God, you blame God for everything rather than look inside yourself. You treat all the religious rituals. You place a relationship with God by all the religious activities. And when you are not listening to God, you serve God with unclean hands. who brought the ark? Who brought the ark to the battle? Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant. Verse 4. So Eli probably too old to go, so he sent his two sons to accompany the ark. Now, why would he send his two sons? I mean, this is the most holy, sacred items of the people. At least you send some elders, like at least send our elders there, right? You send his two sons. What did the scripture say about his two sons? Now the sons of Eli were worthless. They were worthless men. They did not know God. Why would you send two people like that to represent the priest Eli? This is terrible. Not only that they are worthless, I mean, it's very harsh to say somebody is worthless. They did not know God. Well, it's not because they do not know God they become worthless, but they did very bad things. The custom of the priests with the, when any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. As the priest's son, they did not respect the offerings. They mocked the offerings. They came with a three-pronged fork and poked in there. If the man said to him, they must surely burn the fat first, let them to wait, right? And then take as much as you desire, just wait, right? Then he will say, no, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. What kind of, I don't know, their title must be priest assistant, right? Their father is the priest, Eli. These are people. Were people despised by God. And not only that, they slept with the women who were served at the entrance to the tents of the meeting. So that's why God hated these two. And what happened, as we read this morning, both of them die in the battlefield. When you are not listening to God, you serve him. You will continue to serve him. Like the Israelites, they were not listening to God, but they continue to offer sacrifice. They continue to worship. They continue to call him their Lord. Actually, they continue to believe that God is with them. They continue to have to follow all the religious rituals. And we sometimes like that. We do not listen to God. But yet we still read our Bible occasionally. We still pray as part of our routines. We even still come to church. I'm not saying that, no, you don't listen to God, don't come. You have to come more. But all these religious activities become just rituals. Like the Israel people, they have replaced a relationship with the Lord with a religion. This becomes just a religion. Has our faith become just a religion for us? When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli, the priest, fell off the seat backward beside the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was old and heavy. Thus he judged. He led Israel for 40 years. How sad. How sad this is. He served as a priest for 40 years. He did not end good. Neither were his sons. And when his daughter-in-law, one of his son's wife, was pregnant and about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was taken, 40,000 people died. More people died. Right? It was 3,000, now 40,000. and the ark was taken away by the enemies. How shameful that is. What a failure. And the ark was going to be taken, and her father-in-law and her husband had died. She knelt down and gave birth, for her pain came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. Verse 21. And she called the boy Ichabod. Ichabod. The boy has departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. Verse 22. She said again, her last word, "The glory of God has departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken." So when you have a newborn boy, don't call him Ichabod. No, so I want a 5 Bible name. No? I want a name that no one has ever used before. There's too many Samuels and John and David. No, I want a name that no one has used. No, I will call him Ichabod. Don't do that. Ichabod meaning the glory has departed Israel. But even when she died, just like the Israelites at the bottom of the valley, spiritual valley, they still did not understand the problem. She thought that the glory has left, departed Israel because they lost the ark. They thought that if they can keep the ark, God would not have left them. And even when she died, she did not understand. The whole people totally missed the point. God has left them or departed from them long time ago, even before the battle has started. Never mind carrying the ark to the battlefield. God's glory has departed them long time ago. It's not because they lost the ark. God will not leave you. Once you accept him, he's always your Lord. God will not leave you. But you may have left God long time ago before even realizing it. I shouldn't use the word left. Maybe you drifted away from him. You do not listen to him. God is always close by. God is still in your heart. He will never leave you forever. Forever. But you have shut the door on him. You shut the ears on him. You do not listen to him. Your heart is not with him any longer. But yet, you continue to attend church. You even continue to serve diligently even. Maybe you are even a church leader, even a pastor. That's scary. You continue to work for him, but yet your heart have left him long time ago. Like the Israelites. The Israelites, they continue to make offerings. They continue to do all the rituals. They continue to worship him. They continue to call him their Lord. But yet they have departed God. To be correctly, it's not God departed them. God's glory had departed them, but they shut off their ears to God. They do not listen to God like us. When I talk to pastors from other churches, they all have this same sharing with me that the pandemic has brought great, I don't know what's the word, changes, not damage, changes to the church. Many people, after the pandemic is over, have not returned to church. But what's more important, they have not returned to God. So the pandemic has caused great harm, changes, impact to the church. But I don't think it's the pandemic that brought changes to these people. It's not because of the pandemic. These people suddenly decide to give up their faith, leave the Lord. It's not the pandemic. They have probably shut off their ears to the Lord long before the COVID even started. But they just continue to worship, to attend the worship. They attend the worship without really worshiping him. They continue to work at the church, but without seeing it as a ministry for the Lord. They continue to attend even prayer meetings, but not really connected to the Lord. They may even make offerings, but they do not see this as an offering to the Lord, but more like to have a peace of mind. They may even pray just because it's part of their routines, but they are not really talking to God. They have shut off their ears, their heart to the Lord, long time before the pandemic. The pandemic did not bring this upon them. But when the pandemic came, our routines changed. You cannot come to the church anymore. You cannot even come to serve in person anymore. But you can continue to give. That's the only thing that we have not changed during the pandemic, and I thank the Lord. Brothers and sisters continue to give generously to the Lord. But all the other routines has stopped and replaced with a different set of routines. So when the pandemic is over, kind of like now, they just continue with a new set of routines. And they realize that all these old routines that they have been doing for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years makes no difference to their spiritual life with these new routines in the last 3 years. When they compare the two, it's just the same for them. They're just replacing their old spiritual routines, rituals, with a new set of routines. So the pandemic did not impact their faith, but the faith has deteriorated long time ago. Are we like that, even sitting here this morning? Has our faith, have we left the Lord or being cold to the Lord, shut off their ears to the Lord long time ago, like the Israelites? God did not, would not, never, he will never leave you. But it's us who shut off our ears. We are still carrying this ark around, thinking that this is our good luck charm. But yet, our heart is far away from him. Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. 20 years later, if you read the scripture, 20 years later, the Philistines gave them back the ark because this brought them bad luck. They said, we don't want this. They took the ark away, they gave it them back. I don't need this good luck charm. It's more like a bad luck charm to us. It's a curse for us. They give them back. So the ark remains at Kiriath Jearim a long time, 20 years in all, 20 years. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. The word turns back is lamented, to be translated properly. It's the NIV version. The RSV, the NASV is actually lamented. Lamented meaning crying. Crying, lament, crying back to the Lord. God's love would never leave you. God waited 20 years for them to come back. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourself of foreign gods and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and serve him only. This is what the Lord wants from all of us. All your hearts, no other idols. Serve him, worship him only. Fame, money, other things. Serve him only. This is always what the Lord wanted from us, from Old Testament, Genesis to Book of Revelation. This has never changed. So brothers and sisters, our reflection today, how is our relationship with God today? Nobody knows. You may be even standing up there and preaching. Nobody knows. You can preach the word of God very beautifully. You can serve very hard as a church leader. Nobody knows. But yet, the Lord knows. Are you listening to his voice? Is your heart close to him? Are you serving him only? Are all these religious activities just religious rituals? Like the sacrifice that the Israelites were offering in his time. Has God's glory departed from you? Or more like, have your heart left God? Has your faith become just a good luck charm? Pandemic did not change you. You probably have changed it long time ago. The pandemic just replaced your old routine with a new set of routines. Let's come back to God. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, as we learn from the Israelites, help all of us to reflect and help all of us to open our ears and listen. Only when we listen well, we can follow you. May your glory stay with us. We need you. We need you more than before. Let us embrace you. Let us serve you wholeheartedly. Let us serve you alone. You are our one and only God. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.